Welcome back to Horoscope Witch. It's Mal, and happy new moon solar eclipse in Cancer. Actually, today is July 1st. This new moon solar eclipse is not happening until tomorrow, July 2nd, but I thought I would hop on here, give us some collective guidance about the energy that I'm feeling from this new moon. And then if it's okay with you guys, I was just gonna shuffle some cards and give you some intuitive messages for your sign. So let's get into it. And then after I talk about the new moon energy, the second half of the episode, we're gonna talk all about Cancer and what is the Cancer archetype and what does it mean? La-di-da-di-da, you guys know the drill. I don't even have to explain this at this point. So, I would say one of the first messages, let's just jump in. One of the first messages that Spirit was giving me is that for this particular new moon solar eclipse on July 2nd, trust that everything is in place right now in your life. Trust that right now, you are sitting sort of on the perfect launch pad. Even if you are unhappy with what's in front of you, know that it is the perfect launching off point going forth. We may be feeling some increased anxiety. I've had little bouts of like hopelessness here and there, and I think that's probably just like what Cancer season does to me. Cancer season in general kind of makes me a little bit emo, makes me a little bit of emotional. It's probably because I'm a water sign, and you would think that because I'm a water sign, I would thrive in Cancer season, but a lot of the times I don't, just because like it's like very stuck in my feelings kind of energy. So I would say first off, any feelings of anxiety and hopelessness or anything like that you may be feeling, don't believe it. That's the one thing from Spirit. They're telling me don't believe it. It's not to say you shouldn't reach out for help if you need it. Of course, always do that. But also know that your feelings right now may not be grounded in the full truth of your reality. Because what I'm getting from Spirit is that in reality, again, we're sitting on the perfect launching point. And also know that right now, I think some of us as a collective, whoever is listening right now, some of us maybe feel like bits and pieces of our lives are missing. This could be feeling like you have a lack of connection with friends. This could be feeling like you have like a lack of romantic connection, maybe a lack of fulfillment at your job, a lack of connection with your family, whatever missing piece, quote unquote, that you're sort of hoping for, don't focus on that too much right now. Actually, the challenge right now is to focus on everything we have in front of us. One of the things Spirit was telling me was that trust that every single person or every single opportunity that's ever sort of fallen out from your life, trust that's for a reason, and trust that the exact people that need to be in your life right now are in your life. And if right now we can somehow take our focus off of those missing pieces and start to focus on what we have in front of us, that's going to lessen our panic. Another thing that I was feeling that may come up for some of us is sort of a feeling of panic or anxiety around this time. But if we can trust is like the main word for this eclipse. If we can trust that everything is in place, even if it doesn't seem like it, that's when the real magic is going to happen. And know that the universe will reward those during this time who maintain the ability to remain calm. If you get all panicked during this time and all emo and all over emotional, it's not going to get you anywhere. Don't do things in a panic. Do things when they feel right and when you feel called to it. That's the other thing. This new moon, I'm really feeling it's about surrender. It's about not doing. Right now, personally, it's a little bit confusing because I feel like this new moon is asking me to surrender, asking me to trust. And with Mercury retrograde coming up, which starts on July 7th, with that transit coming up, I feel like there might be an energy of, I can't do what I need to do. I can't launch what I need to launch. I can't build my legacy right now. I want to go, but I can't. If you feel that way, it's totally valid. For me, here's what I'm feeling for my own life. I'm feeling like it's actually a really great time to launch what I need to launch. And maybe that goes against everything that Mercury retrograde stands for, but I am feeling like this new moon eclipse is sort of like the last moment of surrender before I really step into who I am and my power. Now, this new moon eclipse, it is loosely squaring Uranus. And I think this is where the maybe anxiety and jumbled thoughts and just a little bit of a feeling of like a boiling point is going to come about for a lot of us. Know that in sitting with the anxiety and just accepting it, I think new moments of clarity will come out of that energy. So just sort of sit tight, strap in your seatbelt, and feel through this. Again, don't do anything rash. What would your life look like right now if you were in full 120% trust in the universe and in your guides? Okay, what would that actually look like? That would probably be mean like waking up, doing what you love, not worrying about the money, trusting that the money will flow easily to you, not worrying about achieving your dreams, knowing that that's coming. I think it's sort of about like having confidence that spirit has your back right now. Now, it's not to say we can't do what you're not supposed to do what we need to do, right? Because we still need to get our shit done. But still, kind of wait a second. Wait a second. See what this new moon brings for you. See what new clarity comes about through this energy. Now, because this eclipse or new moon is in Cancer, I think that also goes hand in hand with this idea of trust. We need to trust in the universe as our motherly figure right now. We need to trust that the universe is holding our hand as we go step by step by step. We're never truly alone. I think there also might be a sense of loneliness that can happen in Cancer season. And that's mainly because Cancer season may bring up past wounds, things that we haven't entirely let go of. And if we focus on the people and the opportunities that have passed and that have expired, of course we're going to feel lonely because we're sort of thinking about our lives and what they were like when those people were in it or when we had this job or la-di-da-di-da. But what we really need to focus on is letting that go, trusting that every single thing in your life right now is there for a purpose. And if something is not there right now, we also need to trust in that 100%. Now, one of the, I was thinking about a poem by Rumi, and this is a poem that, like, it's really... I hold it very close to my heart because actually I carried this poem with me a lot of the times when I was traveling in 2018, and I remember being really scared to take that step and trust that I was doing something, and I was going completely into unknown territory, literally and figuratively. When I got on a plane and I left for Asia for a year. And I carried this poem with me because it reminded me that, our greatest risks have the greatest payoff. And when we can trust blindly, that's when really beautiful things can come into our life. So this poem by Rumi, it's called Nothing Venture, Nothing Won. When you put a cargo board on a ship, you make that venture on trust, for you know not whether you will be drowned or come safe to land. If you say, I will not embark until I am certain of my fate, then you will do no trade. The secret of these two destinies is never disclosed. The faint-hearted merchant neither gains nor loses. Nay, he loses. One must take fire in order to get light. Since all affairs turn upon hope, surely faith is the best object of hope, for thereby you win in salvation. So, I know I'll put that in the show notes, maybe if you want to read it, because it's a little bit hard to understand. But what we're basically saying is that if we are, you know, loading up our ship, quote unquote, as we are doing right now, and we're loading it up and we're never going to leave until we have all the answers, then we're going to lose, right? We're never going to know exactly how the journey is going to go. But in waiting for every single detail to be perfect, and in waiting for every single part of our life to feel totally perfect and free-flowing and easy, we're actually losing. We're losing. We can actually start what we want to start right now. And how do we do that? Well, we trust. We trust that we're ready. I think sometimes we feel like an inner knowing that we are ready for something, even though maybe our exterior doesn't quite match. It's the interior that matters. And I don't exactly know who I'm talking to right now, but hopefully this is resonating. So that's sort of the energy for me, the channeled energy that I felt about this solar eclipse. Now I'm going to shuffle some cards and let's see what's going on sign by sign. I'm only going to give like a minute of channeled information so you can listen for your sun, moon, and rising, and I'll try my best to put the timestamps in the show notes just in case you want to go back and listen to your message later. And even if you are listening to this after July 2nd, hopefully this message will still resonate. So let's start with Aries, the channeled message for Aries for this new moon solar eclipse. Okay. You guys got the Nine of Pentacles. So going from the original channeled message of trust, you need to trust that you are already good enough. Stop waiting to do what you need to do. Just because you are surrounded by people that you view as more experienced than you doesn't mean you can't join in the pack. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but I just feel like there's a couple Aries out there who they're not doing what they need to do because they're either intimidated or they feel like they don't know enough or have enough, or, they can't join in with the big kids, quote unquote, because they're still small and they have a lot to learn. Well, go learn what you need to learn by just completely enveloping yourself in the experience. Know that you are good enough. Know that you have all the knowledge. And who's to say that your not just as special as someone that you view as an expert, right? Just because you view someone else as an expert doesn't mean that you are less than them. And honestly, you probably have some unique talents that many people don't have. So remember that during this energy, Aries. The channel message for Taurus. Okay. Taurus, you got the Seven of Wands. I'm getting that you need to stop fighting. Stop swimming upstream right now. Maybe there's something that you're trying to rush. I'm getting that it's not necessarily material. Like it's not in the material realm. It's not to say that you can't manifest what you want, like material wise, but I'm getting that you're rushing some part of your healing. You're like rushing yourself to be better or be healed or be over this by now. Stop rushing. You may also be maybe resisting some of the deep emotions that are coming up right now for the new moon solar eclipse. I would say stop resisting. I would say let go and surrender. If you let out the emotions that need to come out right now, just the next 48 hours, I would say you'll feel significantly better and actually ready to push forward in a more aligned way after you sort of get your emotions aligned with the material. The one other message is, what's the rush? What's the rush? What are you doing? And if the rush is you want to capitalize or make money or obtain a lot of stuff, then you need to stop back. You need to step back and recheck why you're doing the thing that you're doing. That might just resonate for a couple people, but know that it's not to say that money isn't a good reason to do something, because it is, but if it's just your sole reason, and you kind of lost sight of why you're doing the thing that you're doing and why the thing that you're doing is supposed to be helping others, if you lost sight of any of that, I would say take a step back, surrender, recheck in to why you're doing what you're doing so quickly. Okay, Gemini. Channel message for Gemini. Okay, Ten of Wands. Actually, I'm getting a very strong feeling that you've completed a certain cycle. Sometimes the Ten of Wands reads to me like burnout, energetic burnout. It's not reading to me like that right now. What I'm seeing is that Gemini is ready to level up. After this eclipse, know that you have completed a certain cycle. You're ready to take the jump. You're ready to take another step forward. You've sort of collected all the data and the bits and pieces and the knowledge that you need to launch whatever you need to launch. Now it's sort of about leaving one cycle behind and starting a new cycle, and I'm getting that Gemini needs to be willing to start fresh somehow. You need to be willing to, I don't want to say demote yourself, but sort of like right now you have a lot of success and you have a lot of knowledge and just like experience under your belt, but this new phase that you're embarking on is sort of gonna, I would say it's gonna call you to be a baby again, in a way. So be willing to sort of start over, in a way. Okay, channel message for Cancer. Oh, wow, God. Three cards came out. No wonder. Okay, the Emperor, the Chariot, the Page of Cups. Oh, boy. Yeah. Don't let your... Right now, Cancer, your emotions are not the truth. Your emotions are not the truth. Do not let your emotions keep you living small. Know that you are beautiful. You are amazing. You are expanding. You're about to expand at an exponential rate. people are about to know you for your passion. It's time to start putting things out there. It's time to come out of your shell. Don't listen to the anxiety or the depression or the hopelessness right now. It's time to claim your space. Even if you have to fake it until you make it right now, that's what you need to do. So take the next 48 hours with the eclipse energy. I would say write down maybe all the things that you feel about yourself, and just know that if any of those things are something about you being inadequate, or not being good enough, or not being liked enough, or whatever bullshit, know that it's not true. Really check in with what is true and what is not true right now. Okay, so we had Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, channeled message for Leo during the eclipse. Okay, the moon. Okay. Leo, it's not to say that you can't go forth with any big manifestations right now, but don't charge forward until you have all your ducks in a row. And I would say for some of you right now, you may be embarking on an endeavor with others. Like there's some sense that like other people are involved in your greater projects. I would say make sure those people are in alignment with your project. This does not make sense to me. I don't know where this message is coming from. but hopefully it makes sense to some Leo on the other end of the line. I'm just getting that, like, your greater picture and your greater vision is so special. Be very careful about who you're letting input, who you are letting give input to your greater vision. And don't let anybody else's input cloud your judgment. I mean, this could be a coworker, this could be a boss, this could be a business partner, this could be a romantic partner, these could be friends, anybody who might be like clouding your vision of what you should actually do. Know that your gut feeling about a certain project rules above all right now. Okay, Virgo, channeled message for Virgo right now. Okay, Queen of Pentacles, beautiful. You know, I'm just getting the feeling, Virgo, that you don't give yourself enough credit and you don't give yourself time to sit back and relax and really acknowledge all that you've accomplished. So that right now in the next 48 hours, I wouldn't say it's kind of about giving yourself a break. Not to the point of like laziness, but because you would never be lazy, Virgo, but I'm getting like giving yourself some downtime to really reflect on what you've built and like the lives that you've affected and how you've helped people and how you've been of service to them. And you need to be great, like gracious and have gratitude for what you've built so far. I'm getting that you can't completely put together what's going to come next until you've had some, as Tyra would say, some humble pie about like where you've come from, what you built, what you accomplished. And once we find gratitude for the present moment, that's sort of your next launching off point. Okay. Libra. Shnikes. Gosh. Sorry, these cards just fell on the floor. Okay, Libra, it seems like you're really going through a lot with this eclipse. I got four cards. I got the Nine of Swords. I got the High Priestess. I got Death. And I got the Knight of Rods. I think above all, Libra, right now, you need to... I'm hearing the word selfish. I'm getting that you need to act selfishly. And, I would say, how do I say this? because this is just like, I feel like I give Libras the same message over and over again, because yeah, you know, you have the tendency to let energy drains in your life in the form of people. And then you have these people that become sort of reliant on you and your beautiful energy, when their energy doesn't serve you anywhere near how much your energy serves them. So I would say, don't let other people cloud your judgment right now. Again, act selfishly. Don't worry about hurting another person's feelings. I'm getting that it's sort of like overly worrying about someone who you might hurt, but really, do they have the same concern about your feelings? That's the other thing. So act selfishly right now. Do what you want to do. Spend some time alone. I know that's hard for you, Libra, but maybe if you can spend some time in harmony, in nature, talking to your guides, and realize that you really are never truly alone, I think that will give you some clarity about how to move forth. Scorpio. Okay, Scorpio, your channeled message is the King of Pentacles. Yes. Let me listen in for a second here. Okay. I'm getting that yes, you're building your legacy and you have sort of everything in place right now and everything in alignment. And yeah, Scorpios are really good at making money, and Scorpios are really good at knowing where the area of financial gain lies. But I think what you truly care about is helping people. And I think what Scorpios don't realize is that when they only focus on the money, they kind of lose, they kind of get bored, or they lose feeling almost. It's kind of like when your leg falls asleep when you're sitting down for too long. I'm getting that you've been sitting down for too long for some reason. And I think this has to do with, I think, your material world. It's not to say that you're thinking about like quitting your job or anything like that, but I'm getting that you need to rethink, how you're affecting people, how you're helping people, how you're being of service. If your work seems a little lackluster right now, yet you're making a lot of money, remember that you can tweak things in order for you to feel more fulfilled, because I think Scorpios are healers. Scorpios are the most psychic sign, or at least one of the most psychic signs. So make sure you're using all of your gifts. It's not just about your gift of cultivation and manifesting money. It's about your gift of knowing the deep and dark depths of the human psyche right now. You yourself may be feeling like you're going through a lot emotionally right now, and you're sort of hiding behind your material success, but know that you should let some of that emotion out. You should release and trust right now that you taking a break to self-care isn't going to ruin your whole business, right? Sagittarius, channel message for Sagittarius. King of Swords. Okay, it's time to, I'm hearing, defend your territory, actually. It's time to stop asking others for their opinions of what you're doing right now, Sag. Now, I know you don't usually do that. You're usually very like, I just do what I want, go with the flow. But if there is something right now that I think it might feel like bigger and more unique and better and scarier than anything you've ever tried before, wanted to try before, and you just feel really unsure about it, You might have the tendency to ask for opinions about what you should do, but really both me and you at the end of the day, Sag, we both know that you're going to do it no matter what anybody says. So even if you, you know, even if you ask 10 people about their opinions of you doing this crazy thing and they all say that's fucking crazy, don't do it. If you feel like it's right, you're still going to do it. So that's what I'm telling you right now. Your intuition, you have to follow it above all. Don't let anybody else cloud your judgment. Not that you would. As for defending your territory, you might be put in a position where you are defending a sort of risky decision to someone you love. But I think anybody, no one, how do I say this? In the zodiac, I think Sag is one of the signs that is the best at taking a risk, and you all know that a risk isn't really a risk, especially when you feel in your gut that it's the right thing to do. So don't let anybody take that power away from you. Capricorn. Channel message for Capricorn. Okay, Justice. So anything that's being cleared out right now, Capricorn, trust that it's for the better, and that anything that has recently come in your life, know that it has a greater purpose than you may be thinking right now. It could be like a little side project that you're working on. It could be maybe a new friend, a new acquaintance, a new job that you're not really sure if you have high hopes for. I'm getting that the small things right now in life will actually have big results or like big effects long term. So don't discount the small things right now. Something I'm getting is that the small things are big and the big things are small for you. So if one of the big things right now for you, the things that seem big, are like someone leaving your life or anything like that, know that this is going to be small down the line. So don't get too caught up in this and actually focus on growing the small things right now. It sounds weird, but that's what Spirit's saying. Channel message for Aquarius. That one jumped right out. Four of Pentacles. Sit tight right now, Aquarius. Things are about to change. I would say, like, they're saying, like, enjoy it while it lasts. And when Spirit says that, they're giving me the message that for many Aquariuses, your life is about to change really profoundly in the month of July. So sort of like enjoy the moments of calm and enjoy what you have because you're about to expand. And almost like they're saying be willing to let go of what you have too and be willing to accept something greater. Don't be afraid to let go of what you have just because it keeps you safe. Because whatever new opportunity that is coming in, it may at first present itself as maybe unsafe or unstable. But I'm getting that it would provide you with a lot of like intellectual expansion or intellectual fulfillment. There's something there with that. Again, sorry, when I channel messages, I don't really know what I'm talking about. And it's like, I never really get my messages, but you on the other end probably get it somehow. So yeah, sit tight with what you have. Anything that's coming in that seems like too good to be true, it's not. That's the other thing. Do the things that look good, because they are good. And lastly, Pisces. Did I forget anybody? No, I don't think I forgot anybody. Okay, Pisces. Oh my god, if I get... Okay, Pisces. Six of Pentacles right now. So, know that right now, if you... And I'm hearing 6 months. So maybe this is going to relate to some Pisces out there. I'm getting in the next 6 months, what you put your energy into is very important. Like you right now are building the foundation for, let's say, the next 5 to 10 years. I don't say that to scare anybody, but know that what you put your energy into is very important right now. So above all, put your dream first, put your vision first, work on the creative projects first, even if the creative projects aren't necessarily giving you financial gain. They will eventually, so don't worry about that. Be very, very mindful of how you're spending your energy right now. Don't get distracted right now. Don't get distracted out of fear. Sometimes when Pisces feel like they're about to expand, they get scared and then they start to distract themselves. Don't do that right now. Stay focused. Surrender to this energy, and also know that it is an okay time to expand and launch something if that's what your intuition is telling you. Okay, guys, so those are the channeled messages for this new moon solar eclipse. I'm gonna take a quick break and then we'll come back with the Cancer season archetype explanation. You guys know. I don't even know what I'm saying right now. But I'm gonna take a break and we'll come back in a second. Okay, guys, welcome back. Let's talk about the Cancer archetype. Now, the first couple things before we get into the astrology, let's talk tarot for a little bit. Something I find interesting with the cards in the tarot that relate to Cancer, the Chariot literally represents the zodiac sign of Cancer, and then the High Priestess actually represents the moon, which is the ruler of Cancer. Now, I know that's kind of confusing because there's a literal card in the tarot called the moon, but the moon card actually represents Pisces, and then the High Priestess actually represents the moon. So, I don't know, guys. I don't make the rules. But those are the two cards, the major arcana cards that we'll focus on today. And then in the minor arcana, the Two of Cups, the Three of Cups, and the Four of Cups all have links back to Cancer. So, I think that in regards with the Chariot, let's talk about, like, the traditional meaning of the Chariot. Like, I feel like the Chariot might be oversimplified at times, because it's just oversimplified into meaning something about moving forward. It's time to, you know, launch, blast off, drive forward, go into the next adventure. Things are going, moving forward, that kind of thing. For me, a lot of the times, I think the Chariot has meant something deeper, and it actually relates to the shell of the Cancer, because as we'll talk about, the animal that is associated with Cancerian energy is the crab, if you didn't already know. And there is sort of a crab-like image in the Chariot. It's sort of like, if we look at the Rider-Waite-Smith version of the Chariot, we see this dude. He's inside his little carriage, and honestly, it kind of looks like he's wearing a shell. And although people say that the Chariot is about moving forward, if you really look at the Chariot card, in at least the Rider-Waite-Smith Chariot card, it doesn't even really look like he's moving. He looks like he's kind of stagnant. So oftentimes, I find myself, when I pull the Chariot for myself and for my clients, I think it might even be the sort of point where we're on the journey of life, right? And our car breaks down and we're in the middle of the road and we have two choices. We either stay in the car and wait for God knows how long until someone pulls up to save us, or we get out of the car and walk a mile to the nearest gas station and see what has to offer down the road. Now, that's a very Chariot energy to me. Like, that's really what I think of when I think of the Chariot card. It's time to get out of the broken vehicle. It's time to get out of the shell. It's time to expand your comfort zone and do something different. We can't move forward if we keep doing the same things over and over again. That's the definition of insanity, right? The Chariot often tells us that we're being insane about something. Like, it's insane to keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. So it's time to change. And I would say the two signs in the zodiac who have the most difficulty with change would be Taurus and Cancer, right? So there is a level of difficulty when we look at the Chariot when it tells us it's time to change. And a lot of us may be resistant to that. Now, I think that it's interesting to hear like people say like, oh, I love change or I hate change. When people say they hate change, what does that really mean? I think when people say they hate change, it means that they've just gotten a little too comfortable. They don't like change because they don't like being uncomfortable. To like change, you kind of have to have kind of get a thrill out of the unknown, not knowing all the details. When we don't like change, we may be the type of person who needs to know every detail before embarking on the event. But as we read in the Rumi poem that I read in the beginning, there more often than not, when we're ready to upgrade, when we're ready to, you know, receive that Chariot card, we're not going to know every detail of the journey down the road. We may be driving our car down a dark road in the middle of the night, and we don't know what we're gonna find, but we just kind of have to hang in there until we see the dawn. So that is the Chariot card to me. Now, it's also interesting because I think that, you know, guys, I've been kind of like formulating my own theory about like the age groups in astrology, and we've been through like Aries, which I said was kind of like the birth or the infant, and then Taurus is sort of the toddler, Gemini is kind of like the kid's first moment of leaving their parents. In some way, they're not completely ready to live on their own yet. They're still like teenager, younger kid, but they are leaving their parents for the first time and exploring their life. And in the Cancer age group, I would have to say that, you know, Cancer, it's about the time when we actually leave the house. We leave our mother. This is the first time in our lives when we are on our own, truly. And it's the time when we have to mother ourselves for the first time. And I think that relates back to the Chariot. It's time to leave the comfort of your mother's home, quote unquote. Now, that's not always the case literally in life, but figuratively, that could come about with the Chariot. Now, if you remember in the Gemini episode, I read from the book called The Psychic Tarot by Craig Junjulas. I'll link it in the show notes. And I explained how he has a story in this book. It's called The Major Arcana as a Spiritual Journey. And he sort of writes this little story about the Fool traveling through each card. And if you remember from the Gemini episode, when the Fool walks through the Lovers, the Fool actually had to like briefly return home to get to the Lovers, and he sort of meets his childhood crush, but then ultimately decides, I love you, but I have to go on my own journey, and we'll meet again when the time is right. Now, after that, I will read, after the Fool leaves the Lovers, he goes to the Chariot. So I'll read this small little snippet from the story. The young man understands and controls the opposing forces within him during this difficult situation. His father takes him to the edge of the wilderness in his chariot, and the young man sets out on his journey again, knowing that only his self-control and perseverance will bring success and triumph in the end. Okay, that's got to be like the best explanation of the chariot that I've ever read, because I love how it's sort of this moment where the fool is, let's say he's like 18 years old, and he, you know, like I said, he just had his like love affair with his lover, but now he knows it's time to go. So I like how it says the father takes him to the edge of the wilderness, but it's the fool's, part of the fool's journey now to cross that threshold and leave on the rest of his journey without his parent. And now he must kind of grow up. The chariot is the time when we grow up, which is really interesting. And something else I was gonna say, I'll think of it. But yeah, the chariot, it's really a leveling up. And I remembered what I was gonna say. So in, I believe it's Rachel Pollack's teaching in the 78 Degrees of Wisdom, she divides the major arcana into three even lines. And this is how I prefer to teach tarot as well. If you take the fool out and sort of leave him to the side and then create even lines, three even lines of the tarot, you'll notice that the chariot is the last card in the first line. So in order to get to the second line, which the second line of the tarot that will enter once Leo season comes around, the second line of the tarot has to do with death. The first line is birth. The second line is death. The third line is rebirth. So in order to get to death, quote unquote, we have to leave the chariot. We have to go and move on to the strength card. And yeah, it's interesting to think about how, like, kind of my theory about how cancer is sort of about actually leaving the mother more than just our relationship with the mom. It's actually like leaving the mom. Are we equipped enough to leave our mother and go on our own journey? And I think the chariot also, it could come up during times when we may feel like we don't know enough, or we are a little bit naive to what's in store next, but we do it anyways. This could be kind of a cliche example would be maybe the moment we like leave for college, right? We're not sure exactly what it has in store at all, but we do it anyways. That's kind of a chariot moment. Now, The High Priestess, which represents the moon, which is ruler of Cancer. Gosh, guys, I gotta be honest with you. When I get the High Priestess, it's not that I don't love her, because I really do. But when I get her on like a daily pull, because I do pull my cards every day, and I pull a card a day, one tarot and one oracle. If there is a day where I get the High Priestess, I'm like, God, bish, what do you want from me? Like, I never really truly know what the High Priestess wants from me. And I think that's because, and I've said this before, but for me, the High Priestess does not speak. And when I was teaching tarot, I asked my students, I was like, would you just like go up to the High Priestess? Like, would you go up to her and be like, hey, homie, what's up? What's good? What's new? No, you probably wouldn't. Because if you look at the High Priestess card, at least in the Rider-Waite-Smith, it's kind of intimidating. She looks intimidating. She looks like she could like really mess with you if you crossed her. It's not to say that she's going to mess with you, but she is the knower of all. She holds That scroll that she's holding, I personally interpret it as the Akashic Records. Like, she holds the records of everybody's soul, and she knows your life purpose, but she also doesn't speak. That's the other thing. I think almost the High Priestess is like telepathic almost. I think if she wants to tell you something, it's almost like you hear it in your head, and it comes from inside of you. She's never going to verbally tell you what you need to know. She's going to have you feel it. Now, how does this relate to Cancer? Well, hello, Cancers are the deep feelers of the zodiac. They're ruled by the moon. Cancers themselves are a little bit like telepathic, and they almost kind of read minds because they're so good at reading people's energies and getting in touch with like body language and things like that. You really can't hide things from a Cancer very easily because they're going to pick up on every little nervous tick that you may have. So going back to the High Priestess, it's like she just has this profound knowing. And I think she comes up to remind us that the High Priestess exists inside of all of us. And although we do live in a world where the High Priestess is really not acknowledged in a way because she represents this sort of divine feminine, all-knowing energy, which isn't exactly recognized at all or doesn't have any worth in like a capitalistic masculine society. However, the High Priestess does exist within all of us. And I think one of the reasons she is intimidating is because people in general, regardless of your gender, people in general have a hard time getting in touch with their inner High Priestess because we've been taught not to, right? We've been taught to smother that inner voice. Even, let's say, as a kid, a lot of the times we follow blindly to what our mom tells us to do, or what our mom views as safe, or what our mom wants us to do, or this could be parents in general, that even that starts to stifle kids' natural intuition of where they're drawn to go, what they're drawn to do. This kind of theme exists within the High Priestess. She almost asks us at times, I think, to reparent ourselves, know that we are like our soulmate and our parents, and we are all the people that we will ever need. They are all inside of us. That's the other thing that the High Priestess comes up to remind us of. Now, for the minor arcana that have to do with Cancer, Two of Cups, which the Golden Dawn would call the Lord of Love. The Two of Cups represents Venus in Cancer. Now, I just see Two of Cups as really a good thing coming in. In the near future, something good is entering your life. A good energy is entering your life. This could be in a form of a person, an opportunity, a business partner, a good energy. I also like to think of the Two of Cups as, hey, soon you will be meeting a new version of yourself. When I get the Two of Cups, I almost feel motivated to be the best and show up as the best version of myself and really embrace any transformation that I'm going through right now. Because more than anything, I would love to meet you know, my higher self, or like a higher, more evolved version of myself. And I think when we get the Two of Cups, it is saying you are evolving, you are meeting a more, even more amazing version of yourself than you are right now. Now, in regards to the like stereotype of the Two of Cups being about love, or like meeting some kind of lover, I think. It's not to say I don't buy into it, because I kind of do in a way, because, you know, the tarot, every single experience that a human can have in this world can be explained in the tarot. And I think when we meet a new romantic partner or a new lover, it shows up in the tarot. It can show up in the tarot in the form of the Two of Cups. Now, that's not the only card that can show that a new lover is coming into your life in some way, but the Two of Cups is probably one of them. Now, I think when we pull the Two of Cups for ourselves, I don't think we can, like, spend the whole day, like, thinking that we are going to run into our soulmate on the sidewalk. I mean, that's not what tarot is for. Tarot is not about predicting the future. I actually think that the Two of Cups is kind of about, have you ever heard the saying, like, dress for the job you want, not the job you have? That's how I kind of interpret the Two of Cups. Like, right now, if you get the Two of Cups, right now, it's time to show up as the best version of yourself and prepare for a blessing, and don't get attached to the form that the blessing will come in. So then with the Three of Cups, which the Golden Dawn calls the Lord of Joy, in the traditional Rider-Waite-Smith, we see three women dancing and cheering their cups in the air. And the astrological significance of this one is Mercury in Cancer. So the Three of Cups for me is, other people have said this. This is not my original idea, but it's sort of the witchcraft card. It's like, it's time to get together and do a ritual with your coven. For me, the Three of Cups can also be about distraction. It can be about using, like, fun things and pleasurable events as distraction from, like, our true work. But I also think that the Three of Cups comes in to remind us to have fun and relax and step back and actually connect. And also, it reminds us that we can find fulfillment within our social groups. In order to be human, we do need to have social interaction. And the Three of Cups reminds us that social interaction is important. It's important for the human psyche. Four of Cups. The Golden Dawn calls the Four of Cups Lord of Blended Pleasure. I don't understand that in any way. Like, the Four of Cups would not be a card that I would associate with the word pleasure. But it's interesting to think that, you know, how could we make the Four of Cups pleasurable? And the Four of Cups, the astrological significance is the Moon in Cancer. So, oh boy, you know, I think that I'm kind of sitting in the Four of Cups right now, and it sucks because I think the Four of Cups is like the trust card, and the Four of Cups has everything to do with what I was talking about in the beginning with the, ironically, the new moon in Cancer. And we'll find out more tomorrow when I post in IGTV video about, like, where I kind of pull on the more collective energy of the eclipse. But I do feel like the Four of Cups or something like that may come up. The energy of the Four of Cups is about trusting what you have right now, not being disappointed with what you have right now, knowing there are bigger and better things coming your way, and sort of focusing on the gratitude of the moment, focusing on what you have right now and how you can make the best of it. But it's kind of frustrating when you feel, I think there's a feeling of being stuck sometimes in the Four of Cups. It's frustrating when you want more and you want things to go faster, but it's not. And you kind of just are sitting back and waiting. But we have to remember, especially in the Four of Cups, we have to trust in divine timing. We have to trust in what and when the universe is giving us the thing. And know that everything happens for a reason. I mean, have you ever had a time where you wanted something to happen super fast and you wanted it really, really bad right now and it didn't happen and you were so disappointed, but then a couple months down the road you realized, oh, that's why that didn't happen, or that's why that took so long to happen? That's the Four of Cups. That's remembering that the universe knows all. The universe knows all. Okay. Let me take a quick break and we'll come back with the Cancer astrology. Okay, we're back. Sorry, Cancer season is leaving me feeling just like I want to go slow. I want to take a lot of breaks. I want to find enjoyment outside. I want to talk to you guys on the podcast, but I also want to get distracted. So for the astrology of Cancer, so the archetype is the mother, right? We talked about this kind of when we were talking about the tarot cards, but Cancer does represent the mother. Cancer is a feminine cardinal water sign. Now, with all of the cardinal signs specifically, so Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn, there is an intensity to that sign because they are sort of almost beginning and ending a new cycle in the collective. We can see how Cancer is a very intense energy, and Cancer season often holds really intense eclipses, just because it's the nature of the way the zodiac works, right? The way the planets are moving. And with this intense water sign, cardinal water sign energy, we definitely may be feeling some emotional overwhelm. Now, with Cancer, every sign is ruled by a certain body part. So the breasts and the stomach are associated with Cancer. I find that a lot of Cancers will, their emotional stress or their emotional state of being often manifests in the form of like stomach problems or stomach upset. And that may be because they are ruled by the stomach. Now, the archetype overall of Cancer, like I mentioned previously, is the crab. And, you know, everybody says this. This is kind of cliche, but I think for anybody who hasn't heard this, I think it's actually helpful, especially if you're trying to learn astrology. But Cancer is ruled by the crab, and it represents sort of their hard exterior, their shell, but then their really soft, mushy interior. So I think that no one can, out of all the water signs, let's talk about this, and I think I've definitely said this on a different episode, but it's been a while. If we take a look at the water signs, Cancer, both Cancer and Scorpio have a shell, and Cancer has a way of protecting itself with its like crab pinchers, and then Scorpio, which is a scorpion, it has a shell and it has a stinger, right? So Scorpio has poison to protect itself. And then we look at Pisces, which is the fish. So the fish doesn't have a shell, doesn't have poison. So I would say that Cancer and Pisces are very similar energies, but what's the difference? Cancer's a little bit better at faking, I shouldn't say faking it, but pretending like they aren't emotionally invested, right? There's a sense that Cancers can really do a good job playing off that they are upholding some kind of emotional distance from a person or a situation at hand when they're really not. Cancers have a good poker face. They really do. Especially if you have a Cancer ascendant, you probably have a really good poker face. But at the end of the day, I think it takes a while to crack open a Cancer. I think if any Cancers are listening on the other end of this, or if you know a Cancer, it takes a really long time to get to know a Cancer. There are certain signs, let's say like Leo or Sagittarius, or let's say the fire signs, Aries, the fire signs specifically, they're pretty good at letting people know who they are. Now, nobody really is, I don't think anybody across the board is good at like really opening up and being vulnerable right off the bat with a new person. But Cancers in particular are sometimes hard to get to know. It takes a lot of time and patience to get underneath the Cancer shell and they have to like trust you over time, really they have good enough intuition to know who's a good person, who's a bad person. But when a Cancer is looking if they can trust you or not, what they're actually looking for is if you continually show up. Cancers like consistency. That's the thing. Like, you could be like, oh, what do you mean? Like, I would never fuck you over. I'm a good person, that kind of thing. And Cancers will be like, yeah, like, I can feel that, but I haven't seen you consistently show up for X amount of time. And until I actually see that, I can't open myself up fully. I can't trust you. I can't really tell you how I'm feeling. There's also a sense that I think especially with Cancers, people want to tell them their emotions, but then, and Cancers will take that and suck that all up, but then Cancers don't always return the favor, right? In like a crying session with a Cancer and their best friend, the best friend will probably do a lot of emotional unloading on the Cancer. But then afterwards, there might be a lack of reciprocity. Not only because people see Cancer as like the motherly figure and they want to be taken care of by a Cancer, but Cancer has trouble surrendering and letting themselves being taken care of by another person at the same time. They don't let many people do that for them. And it's because they're afraid to get hurt. They're afraid of letting someone in because if they reach that level of emotional investment in someone, where they're letting someone take care of them, and let's say that person does leave, that is going to absolutely devastate a Cancer, right? Once you are let into the home, you're almost let in for life. And in a Cancer's mind, if they're inviting you into their home, and I mean that in a metaphorical way, if they're inviting you into their home, they are doing it in a sense like, okay, this is forever. Like, if I'm letting you in, I'm letting you in. And you're inside the shell now. So if you get inside the shell and then you leave, that leaves a literal hole in the Cancer's heart. And that's not to make anybody feel bad. Like, if you've broken up with a Cancer or maybe used to be friends with a Cancer and you guys had a falling out or whatever. I mean, it's life. You have to separate. But again, Cancers don't like change, right? They like to keep things sort of, they don't love ups and downs. They really like to reach a point of emotional equilibrium. But if a Cancer fights their deep emotions and their deep attachments, they're really not fully embracing who they are, right? Now, I think it's important to note that Cancer, like we talked about with the High Priestess, Cancer is ruled by the moon. And the moon in our birth chart, I often associate this as sort of like our hidden attic. It's our emotions. It's not only our emotions, though, it's how we deal with emotions, right? So Cancer is ruled by the most emotional psychic planet there is. Now, yes, in astrology, we consider the moon a planet, and we also consider the moon the fastest moving planet, right? The moon will cycle through all 12 signs within about a month, and within that month, the moon will conjunct, oppose, sextile, etc. It will make aspects with every single planet in 30 days until it comes back around and switches signs. And not only is the moon traveling around the zodiac wheel the fastest, the moon itself as a planet is also changing too, right? Because it's waxing and waning. It's moving from new moon to full moon. So it's changing within itself, and then it's also changing zodiac signs, and then it's also very quickly interacting and saying hi and having little tiffs here and there with all the other planets. It's not to say the other planets don't move, but the other planets, especially the outer planets, Jupiter, Saturn, Neptune, Uranus, and Pluto, those move very slowly, right? They're not going to be be moving signs very often. The moon moves signs every couple days. So what does that really have to do with Cancer? Well, it reflects that our emotions are forever changing. Our emotions aren't permanent. There's a sense that in Cancer season, and for the Cancer person, or if you have a Cancer moon, there's a sense that we really take, and I can say this because I'm a Cancer rising, we really take our emotions as facts sometimes, and we forget how quickly emotions can change from hour to hour, to day to day, to year to year. And the moon as a planet reminds us that this too shall pass. Every moment is fleeting. Everything will change. Now, it's ironic that Cancer is a sign in the zodiac that does not like change, yet their planet, the moon, is the fastest moving planet. So I would say if a Cancer or someone with a major Cancer placement or a lot of Cancerian energy in their chart, one of their greatest lessons is to learn to embrace change. If we constantly fight against the fact that life is fleeting, that things are changing, that things aren't always going to be the same as they are right now, our life is going to be miserable. And that's where I think the shadow side of Cancer comes out, because they have these claws. Now, a Scorpio uses their scorpion tail poison. They use that to poison others, right? Well, a Cancer uses its claws not really that often to hurt others, but they use their claws to hold on, right? They want to hold on so deeply. I think I had to clear some energy out of my throat chakra, because I'm like, oh my god, isn't that like one of my, you know, greatest lessons in this lifetime, is about learning not to hold on so tightly and to let go. But letting go is a really tough lesson for a Cancer to learn. And that also has to do with the fact that the moon as a planet, you know, it rules our intuition, our emotions, its imagination. But it's also, the moon is our memories. And I think that's why Cancers really don't forget. They really don't. All water signs pretty much don't forget, but I would say the two signs in the zodiac that really have the best memory would be Cancers and Pisces. And why is that? Well, I would say, you know, especially if you're a Cancer sun, have you ever met someone who, like, can't remember jack shit about anything, and you're like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, why do you forget everything, goddammit? And you're the type of person who, like, remembers literally everything, like, literally everything, and it's torture. That's because that's me. That's who I am. But why do Cancers in particular remember everything? It's because they feel everything, right? They can't forget things because they feel it in the moment. They don't forget, like, a little stupid fight that someone else may find it really insignificant. Well, Cancer, they didn't, because they felt that, right? Because they're empaths. And because they feel everything, they remember everything. And that can be torture, right? So a Cancer, I would also say Cancers have to be careful that because, you know, the High Priestess, like, let's go back to the High Priestess, and she holds, in my perspective, she holds the Akashic records in her hands. That's, you know, the history, not only of the future, but the past. And the Cancer does have to be careful about how they're juggling time and the human perception of time. Cancers can't live their life in the past. When a Cancer is living their life in the past, they become depressed, anxious. They try to hold on to things that really need to go. A really healthy, evolved Cancer is able to live life in the present moment. And that's something we all need to learn to do a little bit more. But Cancers especially can be drawn very quickly back into past moments. And that's difficult. And I empathize with that because I'm a Pisces and letting go is difficult for me, very difficult. So like I said, I already talked about the age group of Cancer, which is sort of the age we actually leave our mothers. It's the age where we leave our homes and we try to make a home for ourselves and we become our own mothers. So it's sort of the age when we leave the house for the first time. Now, hang on, before I talk about the fourth house, I'm going to take a drink of water. Okay, so in the house system, in like the traditional Placidus house system, Cancer rules the fourth house. And I did talk about this way back, maybe like a couple months ago. I have an episode that explains the first house, which is the ascendant, the fourth house, which is the nadir or the IC, the seventh house, which is the descendant, and then the 10th house, which is the MC or the midheaven. And notice that the first house is Aries, fourth house is Cancer, seventh house Libra, 10th house Capricorn, and those are all the cardinal signs. So those houses in the zodiac, in your personal birth chart, those houses are really important. They're probably the most important houses to have planets and aspects in because we'll feel those more intensely than others because those are the houses that represent the cardinal signs, and the cardinal signs are all intense bursts of energy. Now, the fourth house, as I explained in that episode, if you want to go more in depth to the fourth house, listen to that episode. I talk about how the fourth house is sort of the lowest point of our natal chart, and it's what we keep secret and private, and it's what goes on behind closed doors. So anything that any planets that we have in the fourth house, they may be kept secret, or they may be kept super, super internal, right? Because Cancer represents things that we internalize, that we keep under the shell. So for instance, if you have the moon in the fourth house, you may be, you know, you got to be really upset about something to like cry in public, or you got to be really upset to like let your guard down. Normally, like a moon in the fourth house is pretty good at keeping their emotions at a level of like being appropriate, or a moon in the fourth house will go straight to anger in the public eye, but then in the private home, they'll turn to sadness. There's kind of a sense that you can't completely be vulnerable and be sad in the public. And that's just a general example. It may not resonate for all of you, but yeah, check out the fourth house. It represents, our memories, think parts of our childhood. And it also represents our home life in general and our private life in general. Now, I'll go into your personal Cancer placements. So I already talked about if you have your sun in Cancer, you probably have, I've been talking about this the whole episode essentially, but just a few more tidbits about if you have your sun in Cancer. You do have a really good memory, and this memory can be both a blessing and a curse. And I think we as Cancer, as a Cancer sun, you have to learn how to use your memory to your advantage, right? And learning to let things fly. One of the things that I think Cancer specifically could benefit from, and I think this might be my next book club book, it's called The Four Agreements. And in The Four Agreements, something that the author talks about is not taking things personally. And boy, is that hard for a Cancer. Because, you know, when we take things personally, take things that others do personally, what we're saying is that their behavior has something to do with us. And it's really not. Everybody's behavior has something to do with them. And I think in realizing, or in learning, I should say, to not take everything so personally and not to be so hurt by things that people do, and not to take things as personal attacks, that's when a Cancer actually is able to live their lives a little bit happier, a little bit more in the moment when they're focusing on themselves. And I think for also a Cancer Sun specifically, but also a Cancer Moon, these people do have a hard time learning to trust. And like I said, once they do trust someone and once they let someone into their home, it's sort of like this forever done deal. But let me ask you, Cancer Sun, has there been a time in your life where you've sort of become comfortable and afraid of change? And maybe you are with someone that you know you can trust, but does this person actually make you happy? Does this person make you grow, make you a better person, push you out of your comfort zone, push you to be the best version of yourselves? Because I think sometimes Cancers are so afraid to get hurt that they choose the safety of trust over perhaps a situation where it could leave them hurt, but also could provide like growth and happiness. I hope that makes sense. And that could be anything. That could be in a job. Cancers could feel stuck in a job just because they trust that, you know, the job's never going to go away. It pays the bills. I have my insurance plan, all this stuff. It's safe. And they trust in that job, but then are they really happy? So I think a Cancer always has to check in, you know, is my fear of getting hurt stopping me from doing the things that I need to do or stopping me from growing? Because if the answer is yes, then we probably need to face the fear of being hurt, right? And one of the things that neither a no water sign and no person wants to hear, but we've never died from getting emotionally hurt, right? A broken heart really never killed anybody. And I'm saying this very much to myself. but yeah, we have to kind of learn that we have to risk it. We have to risk it for the reward sometimes. Sometimes we will end up with a broken heart. But maybe it's worth it, because if we didn't risk it, we wouldn't have had the experience. And that's something else that a Cancer Sun needs to learn and needs to embrace. The one other thing too is, you know, beneath the Cancer shell, there's a lot of emotions brewing that don't always show on the surface. Oh boy, right? So I think Cancer, you know, finding that mode of letting your emotions flow is really key for you. I actually think that in doing some kind of physical activity like yoga or walking or being in nature, being in the body, not focusing so much on the emotion itself, but more releasing it through the body, is actually really good for Cancers. It helps you not be so much in your head about your emotions, because you can really, really get stuck in that cloud of deep emotions and getting caught up in really believing that, you know, your feelings are facts, but it's really not true a lot of the times. And kind of checking back into your physical body may really help you. So that's kind of the overview of a Cancer Sun. If you have a Cancer Moon, of course you have extreme depths of emotion. You may be afraid of these depths of emotions though. I kind of think of with a Cancer Moon specifically, And we've all been hurt, right? We've all been hurt and we've all been naive when we were young. But I think that with a Cancer moon, I actually think of this song by Taylor Swift, 15. And when she says, you know, when you're 15 and someone tells you that they love you, you're going to believe them. So a Cancer moon will very much have this experience at some point in their life. They're going to fall in love. They're really going to believe that this person loves them, and they probably did love them. And they're really going to throw themselves and they're all into this romance. And honestly, they might get hurt by this. There might be a sense that they get really, really heartbroken maybe once when they were younger in their journey. And the challenge with that, especially if you have a Cancer moon, is after that pain and after that hurt, they may always be operating from the fear of being hurt like that again. Because they may have felt that heartbreak so deeply and been so enveloped by the pain of like something not working out, that after they quote unquote get over it, they're afraid of it happening again, and then they kind of hold themselves back from taking more risks or doing something spontaneous or falling in love again. They may have a fear of falling in love because they know that once they're in love, they're just in it, and it's almost like a disease that they catch, and there's no turning back once this person is in love. Now, if you have your Mercury in Cancer, you really are like the high priestess. You are a mind reader. It's not so much that you read minds, but you are like a master of reading body language, and you really can read people's thoughts and feelings. And to a point where people might get like creeped out by like how much you kind of know about them. Like you may be like, why are you mad? Or like, why are you annoyed? And the person may be like, what? I'm not mad. What are you talking about? But they really are mad, and you know, because you're such a good reader of body language. I'm getting from spirit right now, the third eye. So I'm getting that your intellect and the way you think is very much in tune with your intuition. And really like intellectual thought and logic and rationality. It's almost like it can't be separated from intuition. It's just you do what you feel. You think what you feel. You act what you feel. You say what you feel. And your words may be sharp sometimes. As deep of a feeler as you are, sometimes you forget to have concern for other people's emotions when you're telling them what you really think about them. And you know, that's just part of the Cancer's claws. Sometimes they pinch. And Cancers aren't like sweet baby angels like Pisces are sometimes. I mean, Cancers can be, and they can be very sweet and caring and have that healing energy, but they'll pinch you. They aren't messing around. Like, they will tell you what they think. Cancer Venus is similar to if you have a Venus in Taurus. I think Cancer Venus, they have a tendency to, again, really, what they have matters to them. They have a tendency to hold on to personal possessions, hold on to lovers, friends. It seems like a Cancer Venus's challenge is to always make sure they're maintaining a sense of purpose within themselves, because for them, purpose is about loving others. And purpose is about giving love and caring for others and mothering others and nurturing others. We didn't really talk about that with Cancer Sun, but I don't know. Everybody talks about this, but if you are a Cancer Sun, you may very much be like the mom of your group or whatever. But that's very like cliche Cancer thing that Cancers do. But especially with Cancer Venus, don't get caught up in being a mom to others. It's just in your nature, I should say, to get caught up in momming others, but always make sure you have a sense of purpose within yourself. Your life isn't just about caring for others. Your life is about you as well. Now, if you have a Cancer, your Mars in Cancer, If we think about the way the Cancer or the crab walks sideways. And Mars, you know, rules are the way we move about the world and the way we have sex and all this stuff. So in regards to the way we move about the world, I would say that people don't really get sometimes the way you go about things. There's a certain way that people would do things that they're like, dude, why don't you just do it this way? It'd be so much easier. Why are you going around it like this? Why don't you just do it my way? But really, Mars and Cancer, they sometimes are going to take the long way around, but they have a purpose behind it. They have a purpose in walking their own path and doing things the way they need to do. There's really no rush when you have a Mars in Cancer. You're really going at your own pace and your own speed. You're marching to the beat of your own drum, even if it doesn't make sense to others. And even if you have to take the slow route to get there, you're still going to get there. Now, sexually, I would say that if you have a Mars in Cancer, you will for sure be emotionally attached to your sexual partners in some aspect. So I would say it would typically be very difficult for these people to maintain any sort of like casual hookup sort of situation, just because you do get emotionally attached to the people that you are having sex with. And that's okay. That's not a bad thing. It's just something to know about yourself. And it's not to say that you can't have casual relationships, but it might just be something that you be upfront about. And knowing that about yourself could save you a lot of like emotional pain in relationships. And yeah, so that's Mars in Cancer. And then, of course, my homies, if you have a Cancer rising. Okay, I've been doing a loose study talking to other Cancer risings. And I think Cancer risings, people do think that we come off as like bitches, or like we come off as intimidating sometimes. And I think that might be because of the shell. When you have a Cancer rising, your shell is very visible. And that shell could be anything. That could be you hiding behind your beauty. That could be hiding behind your fashion. That could be you hiding behind a certain persona. I think all Cancer ascendants have a shell that keeps them safe in some way. And it's hard. It's kind of like an ice pick. You have to ice pick their shell in order to really crack them open and see who they really are. It's not to say that Cancer risings are deceptive, but I would say that out of all the rising signs, there may be like a disconnect between how you present yourself to the world versus how you truly are. And that's because you're trying to keep yourself safe. That's the whole point of being a Cancer rising. You want to keep yourself emotionally protected and emotionally safe through this persona. I would say that both Cancer rising and Pisces rising, I said this before for Cancer Sun, but people really pour their hearts out to you, especially if you are a healer. People just feel comfortable telling you their deepest and darkest secrets. Guys, I swear, this is why I like can't go out, because I will meet someone and they will start telling me their like deepest sorrows, and I'll be like, dude, I'm just trying to have a good time. Like, I don't even know you. But that is such a Cancer rising thing. Like, people just want people, although they may be intimidated by you at some points, other people may find you very nurturing and just have like a nurturing, grounding presence that makes them feel safe enough to open up. But you don't always reciprocate, right? And I said this before, but if someone pours their heart out to you, doesn't mean you're going to be pouring your heart out to them. And it's very hard for you sometimes to really tell someone your authentic feelings and your authentic emotions, because in letting it out, you're being vulnerable, and you have to really trust that person if you're going to be vulnerable with them. I would say because people pour their hearts out to you a lot of the time, you may be sort of a fixer. And that's what the Cancer rising has to be careful of, attracting relationships where you're just trying to fix that person, or be like their therapist when they're not giving you anything back. I would also say with Cancer suns and Cancer risings in general, because you are an empath, you are a person who feels the emotions of others, and your emotions fluctuate so quickly, people may see you as very moody. You know, one minute you're totally fine and having a good time, and the next minute you're like, I'm done with social interaction. I need to go home and be in bed and have pizza and never talk to anybody again for the next 24 hours. Like, your mood changes like the moon. It changes as fast as the moon. And that's just something, that's just how you are. You can't fight it. I would say go with the flow with that. So guys, happy birthday to any Cancers out there. I hope you have a wonderful season. Hang in there with Cancer season and this eclipse energy. I know it's going to be an intense one. I might just do a whole episode about the more on the astrological forecast of July, since it's such a big month and it's such like a turning point, I think, in the year. And I want to give you guys like advice and guidance from spirit with that. And one other thing, I recently recorded an interview with the Ethereal Odyssey podcast. And if you guys remember, me and the host of Ethereal Odyssey's podcast, Allison, we did an interview on my podcast about goddess worship. And now, just recently, I went over to her podcast and we did a whole episode about sex magic. And it was a really, really good episode. So I'll leave that in the show notes, the name of the episode. So give that a listen. I thought it was really fun. And what else? What else? Everything that you need to know about me is in the show notes. Thanks so much for all the likes, all the follows, all the support. Tomorrow on July 2nd, again, I will release an IGTV video, a little bit more about the collective energy of the new moon, solar eclipse. I hope you guys have a great eclipse, and I hope you surrender into the moment and trust. That's all I got for you guys today. I'll talk to you next time.